To underscore the casual nature of the iPad, Jobs ambled over to a comfortable leather chair and side table. Actually, given his taste, it was a Le Corbusier chair and an Aero Saarinen table, and scooped one up. "It's so much more intimate than a laptop," he enthused. He proceeded to surf to the New York Times website, send an email to Scott Forstall and Phil Schiller. "Wow, we really are announcing the iPad." Flip through a photo album, use a calendar, zoom in on the Eiffel Tower on Google Maps, watch some video clips, Star Trek and Pixar's Up, show off the iBook shelf, and play a song, Bob Dylan's Like a Rolling Stone, which he had played at the iPhone launch. "Isn't that awesome?" he asked. With his final slide, Jobs emphasized one of the themes of his life, which was embodied by the iPad, a sign showing the corner of Technology Street and Liberal Arts Street. "The reason Apple can create products like the iPad is that we've always tried to be at the intersection of technology and liberal arts," he concluded. The iPad was the digital reincarnation of the Whole Earth Catalog, the place where creativity met tools for living. For once, the initial reaction was not a hallelujah chorus. The iPad was not yet available. It would go on sale in April, and some who watched Jobs' demo were not quite sure what it was. An iPhone on steroids? "I haven't been this let down since Snooki hooked up with the situation," wrote Newsweek's Daniel Lyons, who moonlighted as the fake Steve Jobs in an online parody. Gizmodo ran a contributor's piece headlined, "Eight Things That Suck About the iPad. No multitasking, no cameras, no flash." Even the name came in for ridicule in the blogosphere, with snarky comments about feminine hygiene products and maxi pads. The hashtag iTampon was the number 3 trending topic on Twitter that day.